You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Colt at the River.
This morning, while I was preparing the message, or during the week, should I say, I was preparing the message, and something that the Lord said to me that he wanted me to tell you is this. Is it possible, if you're in a situation that seems utterly impossible in the natural, is it possible for God to rescue you and deliver you in that situation? Is it still possible that if you have an incurable disease, that God can heal you? Is it still possible that if you have characteristics in your life that have wrecked relationships in your life, is it still possible that God can change that character? Is it possible that if you're in a state of lack and it doesn't look like there's any natural means in which you're going to come out of it, is it possible that God can give you more than enough of the plenty left over? The answer is yes, but here's the challenge that all of us have, and the challenge is this. Many times we go through situations in our life, and because we have these repeated negative results, we begin to think, I don't know if it's possible for this ever to change in my life. I don't know if this is ever possible for the Word of God to manifest in my life. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that you can create a belief in God's Word that causes everything to be possible. I said everything to be possible. Not just the big things, I mean everything. And so that's what I want to impart to you today, and I know it's going to bless you. So I want you, if you would, look up on the screen, and I want you to see this verse. Here's the background before we read this. A rich young man came to Jesus who had lots of possessions. And he said to Jesus, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, have you done the commandments? He says, I've done all of them. Now, he's lying for our theory because no one can do all of them. But nevertheless, he thought he had done them all. And Jesus said to him, he says, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and follow me. And the Bible says that he turned around and walked away from Jesus, grieved because he had great wealth. From that, listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus said unto the disciples, surely I say unto you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with men this is impossible. But say it with me, but with God, come on, all things are possible. Say it with me, but with God, all things are possible. Come on, say it with a conviction. With God, all things are possible. Now, I wanted to emphasize that. I want you to see that. And I want you to write this down for reference. You'll find this in Mark 9:23. The man that came to Jesus who had a child that was being demon oppressed. It says this in the text. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. But what I want you to understand is he's not just talking about the power of belief. You have to believe in Christ, and then everything is possible. You say, well, why are you going with this? I'll tell you why. Because many people in the church, in fact, years ago, I remember I was invited to speak at a secular business. It was a plumbing business. And the guy had heard me preach and said, I want you to come motivate the men so that they can be successful at their jobs. And so I was teaching them these principles of bridling your tongue and that kind of stuff. But I was ministering primarily to people who were not saved, and I was emphasizing the belief, the power of believing. But what I've learned over the years is that you can go outside of the church and find positive thinkers. You can go outside of the church and find people that are visionaries. You can go outside of the church and find people that have great confessions of faith in their life that don't even believe in Jesus. And many of them will say things like, if you believe it, always will come to pass in your life. I'm telling you, the only time all things are possible is with God. And I believe in positive thinking. I believe in being a visionary. I believe in confessions of faith. And everything is possible when you confess the word and see the word in your life. But it's a lot different than just having faith outside of Christ. And so it's important that we see that inside of the church, everything that we face, every problem that we face, every challenge that we face, if we get into the Word of God and get the faith from the Word in our heart, there is nothing that is not possible for us. Outside of church, yeah, positive thinking can attract things. Outside of church, having a positive confession can attract things. But if you get terminal cancer, you got to get inside the church, because that won't work outside of the church, but it will work inside of the church. Your confession will bring healing and breakthrough in your life. So I wanted you to see that, the difference, because we're talking about believing that all things are possible. And there are only all things are possible when you receive from the Word of God whatever it is that you need in your life. Now let me show you a verse here. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Now the word come to me, it means to climb up a hill, climb up stairs. And it's talking about how God will draw us to himself once we begin to believe. Now, hear me when I say this. You can't get saved on human faith. You can only get saved when you hear the Word of God and God imparts to you his faith. That's the only way that you can get saved. You can't get saved unless God draws you. You can't get saved simply because you believe. Do you know there's people that don't believe there's a hell? That won't make any difference, because there is. But some people think, because I believe there isn't a hell, then there's nothing to face later after death. But the reality is, you were to choose Jesus Christ today and avoid the hell part, because the reality is there is a real hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come to church, hear some hellfire and brimstone. Amen. But the point that I want you to see from this is you can't get saved without God. All things are never possible unless it's with God. Outside of God, like I said, it can produce results like Roger Bannister beating the 4-minute mile. That was humanly possible. But I'm talking about when you become a Christian, there are things in your life that the science does not have a solution for, society doesn't have a solution. In other words, you don't have the ability through natural means to get it. And you be as positive as you want, and you won't change it. But if you go to the Word of God and you become a positive thinker with Scripture, if you become a visionary with Scripture, if you begin to confess the Word, come on, with Scripture, everything is possible in your family, with your children, with your wife. Come on, everything is possible. Everything. There's a statement I've always told young people, and I've always just said this to people, never say you can't. Never say you can't do this, but I've almost feel convicted by the Spirit that that is a misrepresentation. When Paul said, I can do all things, he said, through Christ. Yeah, there's nothing that you can't do through him, but there's limits of what you can do. You could be confident that you can do this and do that and still not be able to, but in Christ, everything is possible. I can do everything in Christ Jesus. I can do it through it by its power. There's a power in this that I want you to see. Now, here's the part about this that I think is significant. Whenever you talk about I can do something through Christ, you're saying that I can't do it except through his power. Remember Romans 1:18 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Whoo! Great verse. But here's what a lot of people do. They try to do things through their flesh, through the energy of the flesh. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:56. It says that the strength of sin is the law. Why? Because the law caused people to try to be righteous by what they did rather than righteous by believing in the righteousness of God. Anytime that you try to do something by your own strength, everything's not possible. But when you do it through Christ, everything is. Now, I think right now we ought to thank God that we're in Christ. Come on, thank him right now. We're in Christ. That means everything is possible with your vision in a dream. Everything is possible in your marriage. Everything is possible with whatever you put your hand to do. Everything is possible in Christ. And we're not talking about just the power of belief. We're talking about believing in the Word of God and the faith that comes from that in your heart. Hallelujah. This is how you fulfill your dreams and visions in your life. Did you know every one of the promises of God cannot be manifested in your life without the power of God? They can't. When Israel was given the promise to go in the promised land, could they have defeated Jericho without the power of God shaking down the walls? Could they have defeated the armies when they weren't trained to be soldiers? They were slaves for 430 years without God causing the sun, or Joshua causing the sun to stand still. Could have they defeated them? No, because they didn't have the natural strength. They didn't have military training. So all of the promises were contingent about trusting in the power of God. And I want you to receive that this morning. Write this verse down, if you would, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat its fruit thereof. You look at the preceding verse, it says that if you watch your tongue, it'll produce produce. Produce is something that people farm for your benefit. Food, corn, whatever. The tongue produces produce in your life. But it says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I want you to know that the death there is more than physical death. It goes all the way on to spiritual death. And the life is more than physical life. It goes on to spiritual life. Let me prove it to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that God raised from the dead, we shall be saved. That's a confession. You weren't saved because you wore a suit that day. You weren't saved because you put cologne on. You weren't saved because you put money in the offering. You were saved because you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. That there was life given to you because of that. Death is not given to somebody just because they do something wrong. Think about it. When God talked about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, he said, if you commit this sin, it's a verbal sin. He didn't say it was an action. He said it was what you said that you wouldn't be forgiven in this life or the lifetime to come. Now, this is really powerful. Because if we're going to believe in what is impossible in the natural, we have to monitor what we say out of our mouth. Because what we say out of our mouth can bring death, or it can be life. When I start speaking the word of God out of my mouth, faith begins to grow in my life, or doubt begins to grow in my life, depending on what is coming out of my mouth. Now, give you an example of this. My mom shared this with me years ago. Her dad, who was a farmer in Montana, came up the hard way. Well, his dad died of cancer at a young age. And my mom said my dad, as we grew up, always said that he was going to die of cancer just like his father did. And that's exactly what happened to him. You say, is it a coincidence? Not a coincidence. In fact, this happened to me years ago. I was in a grocery store, and I ran into a fellow. I knew their family. They'd been in the church years earlier. And so I just started doing a little small talk with him. How your family doing? All that kind of stuff. And he said this to me, and I'll never forget. He said, you know, the Lord's really been blessing us. But he says, we are due for serious trouble. And as soon as he said that, something was in my spirit and checked in. And I should have rebuked him. I should have said, don't you ever say that. But, he, you know, I wasn't pastoring him anymore. He was obviously under somebody else's leadership. So I just felt uncomfortable to do that. But I regret that. I should have corrected him. And so I walked off grieved, shared it with my wife. 2 weeks later, his son was killed. And I remember what he said after the death of his son. He said, he says, the parents should never outlive the children. It just struck my spirit. Your words could shorten your life. Your words can extend your life. Your words can create an atmosphere of the presence of God in your home, or your words can create an atmosphere of death in your home. Your words have that level of power in your life. And don't think they don't. The Bible says they do. And it's important that we embrace that, because I want you to have long life. I want you to prosper. I want you to find the success that God has called you to. And you can't do that if you don't bridle your tongue. But here's the problem. James 3:8 says this: no man can bridle the tongue. Negatron. What do you mean, James? No one can bridle the tongue. Well, what good? Why are you telling us to bridle our tongues in James if no one can bridle? Because he wants you to know humanity can't. But the Holy Spirit can. I said the Holy Spirit can bridle your tongue. The Holy Spirit can put a pause on what you're about ready to say. The Holy Spirit can quicken what you're thinking and say, don't think that. The Holy Spirit can do that. And see, you can't bridle your tongue without God. You can't bridle your tongue without the Holy Spirit. You can't bridle, come on, thank you, Jesus. You can't do it without the presence of God in your life. It will not work in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you're a spirit-filled person, you know if you pray in the Spirit, that is one of the times in your life that God has bridled your tongue. You have no idea what you're saying, but you know it's in line with God's will. Amen? But what about when you're not doing that? You need the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens. We run into these situations where we have negative events happen, and then we start speaking in connection with the negative events. And at first, it may just be a few things. Never seems to work out. I tried really hard, but it doesn't seem to work. And if you keep doing that long enough, and you keep contributing to that, you'll eventually get to a place and you won't doubt what you say. And as soon as you don't doubt what you say, you give Satan full access into your life. Say amen, everybody. So what I want you to grab from this is a very simple truth. Let's have a checkup from the neck up. Come on. Let's listen to what we hear ourselves saying. Let's listen to what we are saying to our wife, to our children. Now, let me give it to you simply. Women have, mothers have an instinct. You ever be a dad and discipline them a little bit too harshly? And mom comes up and says, baby, I know they were wrong, but, you know, you're crushing them with what you're doing. And mom would go in there and smooth things out, and the dad come in later because of mom. That was that instinct on the inside that what was said went too far. But what God wants you to know is the Holy Spirit gives us an instinct inside of what we should say or what we shouldn't say. And if you listen to that, you're going to produce life. You can't destroy your marriage unless you use your mouth. All right, I'm going to go over this crowd over here. I said, you can't destroy your marriage unless you use your mouth in the wrong way. You can't destroy your future unless you use your mouth in the wrong way. You can't destroy your health unless you use your mouth in the wrong way. But if you decide I'm going to use it in the right way, I'm going to begin to control what I say, I'm going to begin to speak out what the Word of God is coming to my life, everything is going to change in your life. And it's going to produce wonderful blessings that bring you over the top in your life. See, your future is waiting to hear what you will say about it. Soon as your future hears what you have to say about it, your future goes to work on it. So your future isn't determined in the future. It's determined by what you say right now in your life. I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. With long life, He will satisfy me and show Him my salvation. If I delight myself in the Lord, He shall give me the desires of my heart. If I wait on the Lord, come on, say amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. That is what forms your future rather than the other side. I'm going to show you some verses. Ephesians 4, look what it says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Grace is what you don't deserve. Go on. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, notice Paul puts in the mix of this, the Holy Spirit can help you do this. How many have ever had road rage? We're going to have an altar call for liars later. The problem with road rage is people speak before they think, and they ignite a situation that they shouldn't ignite. Joyce and I, we were in Maui on vacation one time, and I had backed out a little bit in front of somebody, and this guy went livid on me, just livid. And inside, I wanted to get out of the car and beat him to a pulp. But I don't do that anymore. And I knew that a quiet word turns away wrath. So I just listened to the Spirit. I'm going to be cool about this. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I cut in front of you. Didn't mean to. Whatever. And it subsided. But see, a lot of people don't do that. And they create problems in their life that they don't need to create. Sometimes I like to just come upside of some of these men, the way they talk to their wives, slap them on the side of the face and say, what are you saying to her? Don't talk to her. She's the daughter of God. Don't make her feel like she's nothing. She's everything to you. I mean, she's everything to you. Come on, amen. And I know that this is the ladies like this, but it's also with the guys. I've heard some women, the way they talk to their husband, I mean, they treat him like whatever. Don't do that. Because it produces death. You want a good husband? Speak it into existence. Just say, my husband provides for me just like Christ does. Anything that I want, my husband gives to me. Amen. And you, your wife, she's nagging at you. Just say, no, you're a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Everything you do is virtuous. You're a queen bee. I mean, character comes out of you like water. It overflows. When the sun comes up, you get up. And when the sun goes down, you go down. Say amen, praise God. I know I'm being silly here, but it is true. So if you switch over to the other side, it's going to affect your faith, and you're not going to be able to believe for what seems to be impossible. You got a dream, quit contributing to the failure of your dream. You got a desire your family be great, quit contributing to the destruction of it and start contributing to the blessing. Start speaking things to it that matters. Because it's all in your mouth. And here's the thing. The Lord said this to me, and he does this every so often. He just gives me one-liners. And he said this to me 2 days ago. He said, tell the people that what they say is more important than what they do. Now, when he said that, I'm going, all right, explain this to me. And he said, if you're saying the right things, you'll eventually do the right things. If you're saying the right things, you'll eventually see the right things. But if you're saying the wrong things, you'll be seeing the wrong things. And you'll be doing the wrong things. So it's more important that we say. Now, you still got to do things. Don't misunderstand me. But what you say is going to motivate the actions in your life. Hallelujah. Well, I thought that was good preaching, whether you like it or not. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want you to write this down because I'm going to show you a truth that will really boost you. You say you've got a problem in your life. Your finances are shipwrecked. It's hard for you to believe that God can turn it around. Or maybe your marriage is shipwrecked and there's been unfaithfulness or all kinds of problems. And it's hard for you to believe that God can restore it. What I'm about ready to tell you will give you a little bit of confidence that what you believe will in fact develop into a full confidence. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 23, Jesus, after cursing the fig tree, they noticed the tree had withered, and Jesus said this. And this is literally what it reads in the Greek. It says, keep having the faith of God. The word God there is theos. That's just the word God. But they changed the ending to it, literally what it is theou. Ou means of. Never means in. Always means of. So Jesus said, keep having the faith of God. And whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and if he doubts not in his heart, he shall have whatever he says. Now here's the point I want you to see. Human faith, everything is not possible. Divine faith, everything's possible. God didn't give you human faith, he gave you divine faith. He didn't give you a faith that people have in sports and all that. No, no, no. He gave you divine faith. Divine faith. It's the same faith that Jesus has. The same faith. Galatians 2:20. Listen to this carefully. Paul made this statement. He says, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And I live, he says. I want to make sure I quote this just right. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, it's King James Version, but it's an accurate translation. It says that he's living from the faith of Jesus. And you say, well, why is that so important? Because John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look down the chapter, and what does it say? And the Word became flesh. In other words, all of creation was created from the faith of Jesus. The stars were created by the faith of Jesus. The mountains were created by the faith of Jesus. Everything that wasn't was made by, all things are made by him and for him. That's why you have a measure of the same kind of faith that creates creation. The same kind of faith that creates something out of nothing. The same kind of faith that, oh, glory to God, it's that faith inside of you. Whew. This is why Ephesians 2:8 says, you are saved by grace through faith, watch, not of yourself. It didn't come from you. It came from him. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word about God or a word about Christ, faith comes. His faith caused the sea to calm. His faith raised Lazarus from the dead. Human faith cannot resurrect somebody from the dead. Jesus' faith can. Human faith can't cast a devil out. But God's faith in you can cast out a devil, can break a spirit that has been binding you and holding you back. That's the faith you got. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Christians have more power than they even think they have. Remember Jesus said this, said, when I return to the earth, will I find faith on the earth? Christians go, see, end times, not going to be much faith. Jesus said, I'm not sure there'll be any at all when I return. Notice he said, return to the earth. The rapture, he doesn't return to the earth. He's talking about the end of the great tribulation. Before the great tribulation, there's going to be the last trump blown, and those that are in Christ will be resurrected. That is the age of the church excelling. It is the time the church will excel right before Jesus comes back. The trump, man, I tell you what, cultures are going to be changed. Nations are going to be changed. Hallelujah! So there's going to be faith at the river. I said there's going to be faith at the river. But it's the God kind of faith. Wow. When I understood that, I realized no wonder we are told to do what he says to do. Think about this for a minute. You remember the story of Abram and Sarai? Maybe you can identify with this story. Have you ever wanted something for years and years and years and never got it? And what you wanted was good, but you never got it? Abram and Sarai were like that. When God called them out of the Ur of the Chaldees, all Sarai wanted to do, that was her name at that time, was to have a child. I want to have a child. That's all Abraham wanted to do. But for whatever reason, we don't know if it was Abraham's fault physically, or if it was Sarah's, or if it was both. We don't know. But for 25 years, they didn't get what they wanted. To the point that they tried to produce it through the energy of the flesh. Sarah one time said, I want you to go into my bondservant, get her pregnant, I'll raise the baby, that'll take care of that desire. We all know how that worked out. They're still fighting overseas because of it. Can you say amen? But what I want you to see from the story is that this is something that they just wanted to have a family, raise children. And in Romans 4:17, God showed them how to change it. Not with human faith, but with divine faith. It says that God told them this. It says that in his presence, God who calls those things which do not exist as though they exist. And he told him, he said, I want you to change your name and change your confession because your name represents you having something that you don't have in existence right yet. I want you to start calling yourself that, and his wife, same way, start calling yourself this so that you can bring this manifestation into your life, which was a child. Now, she's 90 years old. He's almost 100. There's no hope. No hope in the natural. But what did they tell him? What did God tell him to do? Start calling those things which do not exist as though they exist. Some of you need to back up and get in the Word of God, find out what God promises, and start calling those things which do not exist in your life as though they do exist, because they exist in the spirit realm. They exist in God. They exist in Christ. You need to start calling those things that don't exist in your life. Maybe you're broke. Start calling into existence what doesn't exist. Money exists. Health exists. Marriage that's good exists. Come on, start saying things that God can bring it into existence in your life. I mean, this is good preaching. But not everybody does it. And they're waiting for God to do something. When God has already revealed in his word what he wanted to do, What we got to do is put his word in our mouth and start calling into existence something that doesn't exist in your life. And when I preach this, understand, I know what people are going through. I know the hardships you're going through. I know the feelings that you have. It just seems like it's never going to change. This is the way you change it. You'll be criticized. People say, you're just lying. No. You're not lying because it exists in Christ. It may not exist in your life physically, but it exists in Christ. And if it exists in Christ, I can declare it. I can say it. I can say I'm healthy, wealthy, wise. Come on, I can say that it's coming to me. I can say that I'm more than a conqueror. I can say that I'm top of it. I can say there's a breakthrough. I can say I got the answer. I can say it. 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 Woo! Man. Woo. This is how I get cars, homes, churches. We didn't have enough money to build this church. It was like, no way. But no, we marched around this land, said this is our land before we owned it. We confess this building is ours. Say amen, praise God. You gotta claim it. You gotta say what doesn't exist in your life as if it does, and it does in your faith. It does in Christ. It does, because heaven is waiting to hear what you say about your future. Heaven is waiting, God, glory, to bring the blessing of God in your life. It's waiting to bring it to pass so that you can be blessed above. Ekoro masiti masata. I'm sorry, the anointing is just getting on my ears. Whew. Can you stand up right now while I preach this last part? I feel power just flowing here. I feel God's starting something today in people's lives that is going to transform them. Remember Jeremiah says that God watches over his word to perform it? In other words, he's looking for someone that'll put the word in their mouth, that'll believe what he says, and he wants to perform it, bring it to pass. I heard a cute story about some kids. They were at lunch at their school, and somebody had bought all these apples, nice fresh apples. So they put a little sign on the apples. Take one, God is watching over the apples. And then they had another basket with the dessert. And a little boy wrote his own sign. Take as much dessert as you want because God's watching the apples. God's watching over his word. We should be watching over the word in our hearts. Hallelujah. I tell you, I have been healed by this. I've seen people saved by this. I've seen miracles happen by this. I had a lady that had a hysterectomy that wanted a child. And I prayed for her believing in something that did not exist. She fell under the power and kept falling under the power. Every time I'd stand her up, she kept falling under the power and falling under the power. I think it was like 4 or 5 times she fell under the power. And then a month later, she tells me she's pregnant. Had a boy by the name of Adam. Don't tell me it doesn't work. It works. Don't tell me that God doesn't do miracles. He does miracles. Don't tell me that God can't take a drug addict and cure them by the power of God. Don't tell me that God can't break somebody with a lust problem. Don't tell me that God can't remove this addiction that is destroying everywhere that the person goes. Don't tell me you can't. You can. You can. You can. You can. And don't tell me that God can't. cause someone to prosper at whatever they put their hand to do. Don't tell me that. God can take someone that doesn't have a whole lot. It may be his throat. Maybe he's not that smart. But if he's got faith in God, God can use him in a powerful way. Don't tell me you can't do that. Oh, Father, help me. Lord, your people, help them receive this, Lord. We just want to be all that you called us to be and achieve everything you told us to achieve. We want your power, Lord, to work through us. We no longer want to look at it as impossible. We want to believe that it's possible with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something prophetic right now. This is prophetic. When God calls a person, they have a plan for them, and the plan is whatever it may be. And there's mountains for those plans to stop you. Always. But here's what trips people up. The unexpected problem. The unexpected need that comes up. Illness. The loss of a loved one. Something terrible that had nothing to do with your vision. It was like Satan sent out his special forces to create a special need in your life that needs a miracle to cure it. And all of a sudden, you got to take your eyes off the vision and you got to put it on that need. And if you don't meet the need, the vision dies. It just dies. That's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She was just like any other Jewish woman. She grew up, probably played with dolls, wanted to get married, have children. All of a sudden, she has this bleeding disorder. She can't even go to church. And she certainly can't get married. And she certainly can't have children. The only thing she had going for her parents obviously had money, because he had money. And it said she spent everything that she had going to these physicians, yet grew worse. Now, you need to understand this. The Roman Empire, there was no such thing as medical. No one had insurance. If you got sick, it came out of your own pocket. And most of the doctors back then were nothing more than witch doctors. So she went to them. And the cure was worse than the disease. She grew worse and worse and worse and worse. Until one day she heard about Jesus. I imagine maybe one of her friends came over and said, "You wouldn't believe this teacher that I heard in the synagogue. He talked about the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in his life, and that he has an anointing to heal the sick. And we know that. We know that down in Nazareth. We know that over there. We know that in all these areas, these people have been being healed." And it was the fulfilling the prophecy that God spoke in the Old Testament, and faith came into her. And all of a sudden, the woman that had faith in doctors that waned, she has faith in God. And she kept saying with that God kind of faith, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And she kept saying it, and as she said it, it created the action. If you keep saying it, it creates the action. Oh. Stand up, I want you to see this. Come on, stand up, I want you to see this. If you keep saying that whatever you put your hand to do enough, you're going to get off your butt and do something. If you keep saying it, all of a sudden opportunities will come. If you keep saying, "I don't have to live like this, I can live better than that," you keep saying it, your actions will start working for it, because I'm talking about something that comes from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Woo! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Now, here's what I want to do. You come to this service today, and some of you have been distracted by a need that's outside of your vision. It's something you had this vision, and all of a sudden I got this huge need, and I've had a hard time believing that I can remove that need. If that's you and you have that area where you just can't seem to believe that your faith will remove it, I want you to step out from where you're at, coming down in front, and we're going to pray. Come on, just step out. Come down here. We're going to pray. Don't hesitate. Jump out and receive from God what God has for you. Hallelujah. I'm waiting. Shilabararoma. 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 You were saved by confessing Jesus as Lord. The greatest miracle that you could ever experience is the miracle of salvation. It took more power to get you saved than it takes to open blind eyes. It takes more power to save you than it does to get out of a wheelchair. It takes more power. And if you're saved, you have a measure of the God kind of faith. I see a couple of things right here. I want to say this. Generational wealth. I'm praying for Abel right now for generational wealth. Agree with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, Lord, for blessing my brother, giving him generational wealth so that none of his family will ever have to start at the bottom again. I release my faith in the name of Jesus. You need healing in your body? I want you to declare with me, I'm healed. Say, I'm healed. By his stripes, I was healed. Himself took up my infirmities. Come on. And took away my diseases. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God will raise me up. God takes sickness out of the midst of me. Now, I'm doing all the talking right now, but I want you to start doing the talking. I want you to start doing the talking. I want you to, come on, look up at me right now. I want you to get those legs moving. I want you to say this. I'm going to put this under my feet right now. I have the faith of God inside of me. I'm going to put it under my feet. From now on, I've received this. From now on, Satan, you're not going to stop me. From now on, I'm more than a conqueror. From now on, I'm going to overcome. From now on, I'm healed. From now on, I got the mind of Christ. From now on, whatever I put my hand in, shall prosper. From now on, 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 I am delivered from the power of Christ. Whew. This is why you guys need to come to our prayer meeting that we have week before Easter. Very important. Here's something that happens to me every time I start ministering with the laying on of hands. I sense in my spirit the pain that people go through. I tell my wife almost every time I pray for the sick, I said, I don't want a healing ministry because I sense the pain you're going through. And I do that when I'm preaching because I know how painful it is. And we're one in spirit if we believe on Christ. But God wants you to know that you can believe in the impossible. You can believe in the impossible. You just got to believe his word. You got to say, I believe it, Lord. I believe it. I believe it. And people are going to come over and say, don't say that. That's not true. No, it's true in the spirit realm. I don't care what people say. It's true in the spirit realm. And I receive it from God.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.